In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. What you love and what you pay attention to, this is what you become. Today, we have our Lord giving to us a parable about the foolish passions of greed and covetousness. Greed is that passion of wanting more and more and more and being unsatisfied. Covetousness is wanting what others have, what you don't have, in other words. But the root of these two that our Lord is pointing to is the love of earthly possessions. This parable is a call from God to free ourselves from the blindfold and the binding chains of this love for possessions. When we love our possessions, in other words, our Lord is saying we become blind to our own soul and its needs and to the needs of others. This foolish passion of greed or of covetousness, of the love of possessions, St. Basil points out that this causes torment to the soul. It causes it to become anxious in this torment, and it is restrained. Its freedom is restrained when love of possessions becomes the main focus. St. Basil the Great said this about the rich man: his heart is tormented, devoured with anxiety, for what rejoices others brings pain to the greedy. He does not rejoice at his storehouses stuffed full, the overflowing riches which his storehouses are unable to hold are then a torment for his soul, lest perhaps the overflow should bring some sort of blessings to those who are in want. This is what St. Basil points at is the root, that the mistake that the rich man makes in the parable. He loves possessions and he becomes so blinded that all he can think about is, where am I going to put it all? And his soul is anxious and tormented. But Christ gives the cure here at the end of the parable to this greed that is veiled. The cure is somewhat veiled. It ends with this: God said to him, to the rich man, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Jesus, when he gives this and tells us through this parable what God would respond to the covetous man, he is giving an answer to someone who has shouted to him from a crowd, who has asked Jesus to be the adjudicator between he and his brother's inheritance. He asks that Jesus force his brother to split the inheritance with him. But Christ refuses to be the judge in this matter and rather gives a warning and says, the abundance of possessions, if you count this as your very life, this is not good. And then he gives the parable that we have heard today, or we picked up in the reading, literally just the verse before. The rich man in the parable, he never gives a thought to giving thanksgiving to God for his abundance, nor of anyone else's needs. He only gave thought to sustaining and growing his own self-assured abundance with more food and more drink, as if he would live forever. The man in the crowd and the rich man of the parable Christ is identifying suffer from that same root passion, the love of possessions. So this parable we need to hear as a call from God to free ourselves from that love of possessions. The love of possession can blind us to our very own soul and the far greater needs maybe of others than our own physical and bodily needs. In other words, when we have abundance, do we look for those who we can help? If we don't, if we have this focus on love of abundance, love of possessions, then we struggle to fulfill the command that Christ gives us to love God and to love neighbor. So I said that our Lord himself, through the words he said that God said to him, has two veiled cures for the love of possessions that are hidden, kind of, and I want to bring them out and show these precious jewels of salvation. The first cure for the love of possessions is the remembrance of death. Fool, this night your soul is required of you. To remember death is to live believing that our days are short. They aren't unlimited. When we do this, our soul wakes up. Our conscience says, oh, there's something to do. It's not time to sit back and count all of the abundance and I'll get to use this forever. When we remember that one day the grave awaits and death awaits, and then there is the life to come, our soul becomes awakened and alive. And we need this as a daily and nightly reminder. St. John of the Ladder, that wonderful writer, has a whole step dedicated to the remembrance of death. And he calls it this, a daily death, but the most serious of all, necessary of all works. The person who yields hourly to this remembrance is a saint. And the perfect sense of death is to be free from fear, a gift of God. He who has died to all things remembers death. This is how we need to live, to remember death from moment to moment, hour to hour, daily and nightly at the very least, that this might be my last. This might be my last night. This might be my last day. So how am I to live for the love of God and the love of others? One of a dear and close friend, a monastic, is fond, Hiram Monk Siloam of the monastery that I've taken a few people to and gone to several times. He has a curious habit of ending every Vespers service as he's kind of making the announcements of this is what we'll do the next day, so on and so forth, talking to his monks, talking to the pilgrims. He would always begin the spiel of that with, Lord willing that we make it through this night. He was always guiding along his people, his monks, the pilgrims who happened to be there, the priests who happened to be there among the congregation, that this might be our last night. So let us live that night well. Let us plan, let us repent, let us go before God. It's a good shock to our system to wake us out of our own negligence and the foolish blindness that God is saying the rich man was blind to. That there is an everlasting next. So when we learn to live our life in this way, we learn to live the life of the kingdom of heaven that is to come. We start to love that life more than we love the comfort of our bodies here, of the easy way. And we get prepared for that moment of death. Blessed Theophylact, in his commentary, says that the love of possessions and those who are righteous, he contrasts sinners versus the righteous. And he really focuses on this phrase of this night your soul is required of you. He says that at that moment, those who are prepared, they are greeted by angels, and their soul is already given over to God. It's an easy path for them to go into the next life. They go with God. They've known him. They've lived their life in a way that is preparing them for that life. But those who are like the rich man, who love the possessions, love things that tie them to the body, tie them to this earth, and give no mind to God, they just want more and more and more. The greedy and the covetous, they will struggle in that moment because he says they've made their soul fleshly. It will have a difficult time separating from its body. And this is why the soul is required of him. Now it will be, he has no choice. It will be demanded of him. The same way he says that a harsh tax collector will treat a debtor who refuses to pay what is due. Truly, he says, that night when the soul of such a sinner is demanded of him, It is a night for the sinner who is darkened by the love of wealth. And to him, the light of divine knowledge cannot penetrate. It's there, but he's blind to it. And death overtakes him. But it won't be like this for the righteous, for those who are looking for the life of the age to come. When we do that, how do we prepare? A powerful way to learn for the life of heaven, to live our life toward the heavenly kingdom, is to place the things of God as the center, our prayer, the church services, the sacraments of the church, at the center of the habits and of our rhythms of life. This goes a very, very long way, dear ones, to learning to love what is beyond the grave. We can't take the things that we accumulate with us there. They stay here. But there's the second cure for the love of possessions, and this is to be rich toward God. How do we become rich toward God? We do this by practicing thankfulness for all that God has provided for us and not speaking of what I might have in my possession at the current time as mine alone, mine to do with what I will. St. Basil offers us a spiritual tactic to transform our spiritual poverty of all of these great possessions when we have that kind of greedy, covetous mentality about our possessions into a spiritual richness. He says that we need to treat everything that I don't need as if it belongs to someone else. He calls these our extras. None of these are mine own possession, he says, but they are something that really actually belong to somebody else. And he goes so far as to admonish his congregation, and he says to those who are around him and those who are listening and have ears to hear, he goes so far as to say that we need to work to find who is missing that extra item. Who does this actually belong to? I need to go find that missing owner for that fifth coat that I might have, for that extra possession that I might have that would give someone else who needs it. It really belongs to them. This is why God gave it to me in the first place. So practically, this means we divest ourselves of all of those extra possessions and give them to the needy, or we sell the extras that we don't need from our funds that aren't sustaining our life, or we aren't needing and just beyond the prudential. And we give that money to those who are in need. This takes us to start analyzing what are the necessary possessions that we have and what are go beyond the storehouse that we already need. To start to be rich toward God is to unload all of those extra possessions for the sake of love and in thanksgiving to God. For to give to those who are in need, God counts that as giving to himself. It's the investment in the life of the age to come. We no longer are tied down to the things of this world, but we are giving to those who do have truly a need. Do this, and we start to learn to love one another as we love and care for our own soul. What we love, we become. This thought is a spiritual movement of soul that is exactly what the rich man was missing. He didn't think of himself as blessed by God and looked how to share that love with others. And so we need to remember our own debts, and we need to work to become rich toward God in our almsgiving, in looking for those who are needy, looking for what is extra, and giving it to others. I'll end with a brief point of what I'll call a spiritual regimen. A daily one to remember death and to become rich toward God. Daily, wake up, and the first words out of your mouth need to be glory to God. Thank God for another day of life. God, you are good to me and have given me everything that I need. And go to bed thanking God for all that he has blessed you with that day. Ask for his forgiveness for where you have sinned and trust in his mercy. Recall the favors of God in those moments before you shut your eyes. Make a list. Review it often. Say it aloud to yourself. Saint Theophan recommends that very thing, to end every day with that. And he says, if you do that, you will not be able to refrain from singing your thanksgiving to God. And every so often, perhaps when a fast approaches, like the one we've just entered, look at what you've accumulated. We're all Americans. We all have an abundance. We've accumulated. I don't think that's a question. Have I accumulated or not? We all have. Count your extras and find those missing owners. St. Basil commends us to that, and there will be great spiritual fruit if we take it up. The poor and needy are those eternal storehouses that the rich man should have turned toward. Then we feed God, Basil even says, and become rich toward him when we give to them. Look at your financial life, one last point, in sort of a general way, and set apart a portion where you regularly give thanks to God from that portion. Call this our tithe in the church. Look and say, God is always good to me, so in a regular way, I will give him thanks from what he has given me. Just like we fast as a church together, so we fast with our wallets. Obedience and dedication of our food and our money to God are the gateways of life into God's grace. When we do that, we know where our heart truly resides. It's with God, because we've given him the things that we see as so essential to our own life. We give that portion to him. God is always bestowing blessings. And when we dedicate this kind of offering of food and money, this is where we give him our heart. This is where we say, I'm with you, Lord, and this is where my home truly resides. Do these things, dear ones, and you'll become wise in your ways, rich toward God. Trust in him will grow, and in your capacity to love others will grow along with it. Have no care but the care for God's commandments, his will, his desires, and the heavenly life. This is where we do go when we remember death and we strive to be rich toward God. I'll end with the same way that St. Basil ended his homily, since I've used him to look at how to live and understand this parable. He says this, whomsoever you could have helped and did not, to so many have you been unjust. I have spoken to you as best as I could. For you who respond, the blessings are ready that were promised. For you who do not respond, the sentence is already written. And I pray most earnestly that reflecting upon this bitter counsel I am giving you, you may escape those penalties, that your riches may become instead the price of your redemption, and that you also may attain to those heavenly good things. Amen.